yes, your ears are not deceiving you. After about 8.5 months of hiatus, we're here for episode 150 of the European Uppercut on the Trending Topics Network, a podcast that talks about professional wrestling. At least that's what we're supposed to do, and we haven't been doing it, you know, life and all that shit. But I thought we'd, you know, add an opportunity to have a quick show this morning. It's a Monday morning. Don't normally record on a Monday morning, but hey, why not? Sent the messages out, see who was able to come on for this morning. And, well, you know, I'm not on my own. That's all I'm going to say. But who am I? I am the Living Legend. You can find me on Twitter at LivingLegend148. I'm hosting this from my home in Edinburgh, Scotland. And as we usually do, I have a panel from south of the border. But who have I pulled in to join me? Well, actually, there was supposed to be a couple of us, but there's only one more of us at the moment. And he's a man who's probably got a shit ton of topics to hit on after our hiatus. It's PK. Welcome back.
Thank you for having me back. It's I've missed doing these shows, so it's good that we're getting a chance to do this catch-up.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, Adam's sent us a message just a minute ago just to say to start without him. Hopefully he gets on before I have to go, because it's a kind of short-ish show. I've got a child to collect at 11:30, so they won't be late. But it's been a busy 8 or so months, and let's just start off by saying, Paul, what have you been up to?
Life getting in the way, unfortunately, for a lot of things, but TNT is taking up quite a lot of my time in a good way at the moment. We've got, obviously, doing the commentary for the main shows. We're also starting our own sort of proto-NXT sort of brand called TNT Ignition, where we're giving people from Fighting Spirit Training School and other places a chance to shine. Fighting Spirit School, obviously notable for their head trainers being Zach Gibson and James Drake, who were both in the UK tournament, which we'll touch on later, I'm assuming. And so that's keeping me plenty busy. Obviously, I'm looking forward to talking a bit more about those shows a bit later on. But and then other wrestling-wise, New Japan, pretty much. outside of trying to keep up to date with WWE, apart from Backlash, I couldn't bring myself to watch Backlash after hearing how terrible it was.
It was almost like booking by numbers. It was just a bit too predictable, and yeah. There's been worse. Let's be honest. personally, I've had an interesting 8 months. For the first time in nearly 26 years, I've actually changed employer, which is quite an interesting little change in my life. So I'm now working in the corporate world, working on pretty much the biggest contract in the entire UK for what I do, which is graphic design. So that's been an interesting change, and working in the banking sector, basically. So that's keeping me very busy. But it's good to be in a job where no longer am I relied upon. I'm appreciated for what I do. So that's a good thing.
Oh, definitely. That's a rare thing in this day and age.
Exactly. That also means that, you know, my time is kind of more focused now, and I don't have time to frivolously sit around chatting shit with guys like you. So these are going to have to be kind of special times that I can kind of try and find time for as time goes on. But so I think going forward, what we're seeing is European Uppercut isn't dead. It's just going to be a rare special occurrence every so often, just to kind of let you guys know what we're up to, what we're thinking about the product as it stands, whether that's independent, whether that's WWE, Ring of Honor. I've even got a bit of Impact Wrestling to talk about this morning. So I'm not going to hang about any longer. We're just going to get straight into topics, and I'm not going to let you open, PK. What would you like to talk about first?
Well, first of all, I think a good place to start would actually be Impact, of all things, because of how, since Don Callis and Scott D'Amore have taken over, what a 180 that product's done.
Now, so this is an interesting thing here is I fell off finally in February. I stopped watching. I've got it all still backed up on my Skybox. I've started to hear there's been some interesting changes going on as of late. So as of yesterday, I started to catch up. I'm kind of in a crossroads, which is 9th of March. So I've still got a way to go, but I'm going to come back to that in a little bit. But what have you been hearing? Where are your thoughts in terms of the changes and impact then?
Well, I haven't got time to watch it weekly. I've been trying to keep up to date with the product, and it just seems to be that the long-term storylines are getting back in there with the likes of the Sami Callihan and Eddie Edwards stuff. The performers seem to be enjoying themselves a lot more since they made those changes where anything that the guys create on Impact, they own, not Impact. Mm-hmm. So they can take that elsewhere and expand it. Obviously, yeah. working with the likes of AAA and Lucha Underground is never going to hurt when you can say you've had Pentagon as your world champion. And where he's a red hot topic still, even though Lucha Underground has been off for quite a while. And even like stuff like the women's side of things, like the Sue Young, Taya Valkyrie, Rosemary, all that sort of stuff that they were doing, that just seemed to grab a lot of attention, and good on them. It needed a major change, and they've put it into place.
Excellent. I think one of the things that's been plagued in terms of the history of Impact is when they've done changes, they've kind of thrown shit at the wall without really structuring it and then kind of sticking to their guns a bit. They've tended to just chop and change too quickly, too easily. Has that changed? Is that kind of problematic issue kind of gone now?
It's not gone fully, but it's... the majority of the stuff to throw at the wall to see what sticks, there seems to be a logical reason now behind why they're doing it. And most of it is sticking. Especially when it comes to like Matt Sydal's character direction and Austin Aries obviously being a big deal, bringing him back in after his run with WWE ended. And again, like the main event scene, they've just kind of transitioned everything. And even like, yeah, they brought Scott Steiner back in, which... 3 years ago, you'd laugh at them for and go, oh, they're desperate. But it worked in the context of what they did it for.
Yeah, because I've not got it, but I did hear he got tag team gold.
Yeah, with Eli Drake. Eli Drake lost the world title and to Aries, I believe.
And
then he's kind of transitioned into this tag team role with Steiner, and it works. I never thought I'd say that about Scott Steiner in 2018.
At 50-what years old. Brandon. Yeah, and I heard a story just... Oh, no, it's not really a story. I saw a post on Twitter that really caught my attention. They've signed Joe Hendry.
Yeah. And Edinburgh's again,
local hero.
And again, it's looking like that's the type of thing that they're going to start doing more of, and they're going to get people who've got a bit more buzz around them. Obviously, Joe coming off the Commonwealth Games, and obviously because Joe is legit athlete. He's as good as entertaining as he is with his songs and everything. He could kick your ass if he wanted to, and he's the perfect person to bring in to somewhere like Impact, where he's got that creative freedom that anything he did do there, he could take back to the likes of BCW or ICW, and that would just be his. He would just own it himself.
I mean, genuinely didn't see this one coming. I saw he was at the Ring of Honor show on United on Thursday night there, and it was literally, I think it was a Friday, that the tweet went out saying that he was going to Impact Wrestling. I was like, well, where'd that come from? And I was just like, absolutely delighted for him. I mean, take into account, obviously, as you say, the Commonwealth Games, a bit of exposure from Ring of Honor as well. I mean, his bubble's growing very quickly. Let's hope that bubble's nurtured and not burst.
Definitely. And like the likes of people like Desmond Xavier and people like that who they've been using recently, they're trying to get back to that TNA of old where they'd bring in like the red hot indie guys, and the indie guys would still carry on working for Ring of Honor and places like that. Yeah. Just getting national TV exposure as well, which is not exactly a bad thing for any of the companies involved.
Yeah, yeah. The best thing about the tweet from Joe Hendry was that he said, and the songs are coming with me. So there's some entertaining days ahead.
Oh, definitely.
Okay, so that's Impact. Let's move on to ROH for a minute. I'll come to Honor United in a little minute, but I just thought I'd kind of get your feel on where ROH are at the moment. What are your thoughts on the product they're putting out just now?
I think the ROH product recently has been fantastic. The main pay-per-views have been some of the best wrestling you'll find anywhere, like they used to be. And as characters, they've got like Dalton Castle as your world champion, with the likes of Cody is a really strong heel.
Yeah.
Considering Cody is part of the Bullet Club and they're a cool heel stable to root for, everyone still hates Cody, which is a... a testament to how well he's playing that part. And it says a lot when him and the Young Bucks could decide they're doing a show and it sells out in 30 minutes in a 10,000 seat arena.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, it's interesting because you got quite a face pop on Thursday night.
Okay. That's interesting.
It wasn't fully fledged face pop, but it was certainly, it came across more popular than he did in terms of being a heel. Him and the Bucks obviously got the bigger pops of the night, but it was just, if you listen to the pop that the Young Bucks got, it was slightly more heelish compared to Cody. And I don't know if it was just because of his status, where he's at, the fact that, you know, as far as Edna was concerned, he's never been here before, whereas the Young Bucks have. So I don't know if that's had a, you know,
I think that would definitely have an effect on that, yeah. And the Young Bucks as well, they're still a very acquired taste. Like, there's a lot of people who don't like all the super kicks and don't like all the, like, the high-pitched, like, screeching and things like that. Whereas I personally find it very entertaining. Like, looking back 12 months or so ago, I was sat in Wolverhampton in a banquet hall watching Kenny Omega and the Young Bucks against British Strong Style. And it was sort of the best wrestling, but one of the funniest matches I've seen in a long time.
Oh, interesting. Good.
So it's they are an acquired taste, but obviously and I know obviously there's been a bit of a storm around All In that touts have bought a load of tickets and they're trying to sell them for stupid amounts of money. But that's not the Young Bucks' fault. Them touts are going to do that if something looks like a hot ticket. That's not a reflection on Cody or anybody else. That's just the way, especially America, the way America works.
Yeah, unfortunately so. And there's no kind of any chance of that changing anytime soon, unfortunately. I'll quickly just tuck into Thursday night. So the first of three nights in the UK for the Honor United Tour, Edinburgh, London, and then Doncaster. And the card was fairly late announced, but it stacked up pretty well. So, I mean, on the card, obviously, you've got Dalton Castle, Jay Lethal, you've got Cyril Shung, you've got Shane Taylor, you've got the Young Bucks, you've got Cody, you know, there's a list of names as long as your arm, plus a few kind of UK names kind of sporadically dropped in there for good measure. So you had Nick Aldis, you had Joe Hendry, as we've already mentioned, you had Chardonnay, and you had Mark Haskins. Mark Haskins, first time I've seen him live, and bloody hell, I was impressed.
Haskins is fantastic. Like, when you think back to that original run he tried to have in TNA all those years ago as the star attraction, and that gimmick just never really fit him. But this aggressive, mega technical, just beast who'll just beat you up.
Mega technical is a very good description, actually.
He's quick, and he legitimately trains Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, so he has got that submission background. And as he's incorporated that more into his wrestling style, this Mark Haskins now is the best Mark Haskins we're going to get, period. And I'm made up he's getting those sorts of opportunities to be on the likes of Ring of Honor.
The other kind of thing I wanted to kind of bring up from that event was the match that caught me off guard as being probably the most entertaining of the night. On paper, it should have been anyway, but I just wasn't really... I thought it was going to be it happened, let's move on match, but it actually really, really entertained me, which was Yano and Delirious versus The Boys.
Yeah, I can imagine that one just being all kinds of ridiculous. Especially with Yano involved.
On every level. I mean, just even, you know, the underplayed spiel in the ring that, you know, you might hear, you might not, just really added to it, just really set it off, and it just went in all directions that match. It was just hilarious, and including one of the boys coming out randomly with one of Delirious's masks on and stuff like that, you know, just caught us off guard. And then the action didn't finish after the bell. The match finished, and out comes Bully Ray to literally beat the hell out of The Boys, and probably the hardest powerbomb I've seen live anywhere. Literally, I thought that boy was going through the ring.
certainly sounds like Bully Ray.
One little criticism of the night, though, and this was, I suppose, when you're doing a tour, something's going to give somewhere, and these are the details that probably shouldn't give. Right at the start of the night, Bobby Cruz was ready to do an introduction to get the event started before the live stream kicked in, I didn't have a mic. And he couldn't get a mic to him quick enough before the footage started to roll to start the programme. So that kind of fell flat. And then they started the event and they didn't have a ring bell. Eventually, you know, they must have used a sound cue, I think, to get something eventually. But it was like three matches down before I noticed it even happening. So I thought, that's a bit of a fail.
To be fair, though, it's quite easy when you go to fashion shows. So obviously, I go to a fair few in the way of Indian. We use a proper ring belt at TNT because it comes as part of the ring hire. The guy's got a belt, so we use it. But then it's really weird when you go to shows and it's actually just a sound effect that they hit a button.
Well, no, they were looking for it. They were actually, you'd see them on their mics and their headsets talking backstage saying, has anybody got it? Where's the bell? It's quite amusing. And just a little tidbit at the end of the show after the camera stopped rolling was a little All-In announcement that they made at the end of the night, which was that Bobby Cruz is going to be the official ring announcer for All-In. So what a huge revelation.
I actually really like Bobby Cruz as a ring announcer, though, so that's definitely a good
thing. Oh, absolutely. It works well. They had the little intro off between him and Brandi Rhodes at one point as well. Who was the better at doing the intros? Just at the end of the night. And Brandi Rhodes, actually, I should mention, was there just apparently days after having arm surgery to get a metal plate put in her arm. So good on her for taking the flight.
Yeah, I'd heard she was injured about 2 or 3 weeks ago. So, that's fair play, to say the least.
I had heard that she'd be getting surgery, so I assumed she wasn't going to be there. So when she came out, I was like, oh, there's a wee surprise then. I'll take that. I'm going to move on because time is ticking. It's now more 20 minutes into recording, roughly, nearly. And I want to get on to talking about the UK Championship Tournament that takes place June 18th and 19th. So it's only a couple of weeks away. It's going to hit us before we know it. And quite a lot announced already for a two-night event. We've got, obviously, a 16-man tournament. Plus, we've got a bunch of matches spread out between the 18th and 19th that a lot of them are looking pretty interesting. You must agree, I take it, Paul.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And, like, I think very much when it came to the announcements, the first block of announcements was the more interesting one. But that's not saying that there's not some really interesting matches that have come out of this, like Gallagher versus Gulak.
I think it was an open round match, which was really good. And that's the first one announced is Gallagher and Gulak. And obviously, question marks and eyebrows are raised by the fact that Gulak's in this tournament.
But then you can say the same about Travis Banks because he's New Zealand.
Yep, absolutely. So, absolutely agree.
And they've had Americans challenge for the title at NXT TV with Roderick Strong.
The reason I'm okay with Travis Banks is his body of work is here.
Exactly.
You know, it makes sense that he would be on that card because he's based in the UK. But Gulak, obviously, is not. So that's where I kind of go, right, okay. What are you playing at? But that first match in itself, as you say, it's certainly got a great level to it. It's going to be really interesting to see those two playing off, and they've got quite a pedigree built up over the last year. Well, how long has it been since the last UK Championship tournament?
About 18 months. The Cruiserweight Classic, do you mean, or the tournament where Tyler won the belt?
When Tyler won the belt.
Yeah, so that was that January 2017?
Yeah, it would have been. But
nearly 18 months by the time it happens.
But so from Jack Gallagher in that time, he's pretty much seasoned himself up in terms of WWE style and TV. Drew Gulak, obviously, coming in from the Cruiserweight Classic, and he's really cemented himself very well as well. So as the card goes, it's probably the most cemented pairing.
Yeah, definitely. One match that's got my interest as well is the Zach Gibson, obviously being a local boy, and going up against Amir Jordan, which will be a really interesting match because, again, we've used Amir for TNT. He's a really good guy. He's deceptively technical based on the fact that he comes out dancing, and he seems like a very fun character, but he can go. And obviously Gibson's just one of the best in the country. Out of everyone on the on this run of shows, I can see him being used fully by WWE UK in the same way as the likes of Mark Andrews and Tyler Bate and all those guys have. Well, they actually had the Gulak Gallagher match, didn't they, at the NXT tapings, apparently.
I'm doing my best to avoid finding anything out, so I'm going to kind of try and keep myself, keep my knowledge of the event virginal till the event itself. I don't want to, spoiler free. Let's jump to Ashton Smith and Joseph Connors now. To me, it kind of seems to lend itself to a Joseph Connors win, but what's your thoughts on that match?
Again, I do think Connors will go through into the quarterfinals just because he's the more established WWE UK guy, but I think Ashton's so good that he'll make a name for himself regardless. Again, I've been lucky to work with Ashton on more or less every TNT show we've done.
And I don't think there's any bad names on this list whatsoever.
I think the most interesting thing is the likes of Ashton Smith, Dave Mastiff, Kenny Williams, El Ligero, Jack Gibson, and Joe Coffey, I believe, were all former World Sport signed talent before they obviously dropped the ball with that one. And WWE have swooped in and snapped them up.
Absolutely. And that's something that, you know, that I had heard, though, that they were supposed to be doing another run of those coming up for... When was that? Probably about 8 months ago or something. They're supposed to be doing another run of them, but it never ever surfaced.
And it looks like it's going to happen again now, and it's all been confirmed now that it's going to happen again at Epic Studios, where WAW record their stuff in Norwich. And don't get me wrong, I want everyone to do well. But at the same time, there's a lot of competition now. If they were the only game in town, then they'd have a much easier time of it. But with WWE putting on such a strong UK-based show and doing it at the Download Festival, at the NXT tapings, and it is a bit bonkers that how much stuff is going to get thrown into these few days in the Albert Hall.
To be honest, the UK scene is just going from strength to strength. But I'll come back to that again a little bit. Let's continue creating because some of this card. Flash Morgan Webster, who we recently seen on 205 Live, James Drake. Next up is the fact that Flash has already been on TV a sign that it's likely to be him that goes through?
Well, James Drake was in the first tournament as well, and he was also on the same episode as 205 Live and was on the UK tour. I went to the SmackDown House show in Liverpool and he was on that. It was him, Connors, and... Sam Gradwell against Mustache Mountain. Trent Seven wasn't there, but it was Mark Andrews, Tyler Bate, and Wolfgang in a really fun six-man. So that one is a complete toss-up to me. I think out of everyone, I'd love to see James Drake go through because but that's a really hard decision just because I love the pair of them.
Now, I think Adam is joining us. Adam, have we got you?
I am with you, gentlemen. How are we on this fine bank holiday?
I'm good, thank you. Good to speak to you. It's been a while.
It has.
We've lost you already. I'm guessing you've got signatures. Let's just continue on where we were. So we're on Flash Morgan Webster, James Drake. So let's finish up on that one, then we'll move on to the next match. So what were you saying there before we tried to get Adam in?
Just that it's a complete toss-up, and I've got a lot of time for both not just as wrestlers, but as people, JD and Flash. And it all depends how they want to play the set, how they want to play the match at the Albert Hall, because obviously the winner of that gets either Kenny Williams or Dave Mastiff. So if they want to go all about, here's your flippy cruiserweight-style match... they're going to do Kenny Williams versus Flash.
Yeah.
But if they want to do something a little bit more hard-hitting, they might go with James Drake versus Dave Mastiff. And the smaller guy, James Drake, gets that rub to go through by beating the big bad man from the Black Country. But it all depends on what story they want to tell, which is what makes these brackets so interesting.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, Adam, have we got you now?
Yes, apologies. I had technical difficulties.
That happens to the best of us, but good to have you finally on.
I am hanging so hard this morning, boys. I apologize.
For where were you last night?
I don't remember.
You did tons in style.
I started out in London Bridge, and then I had like Camden at one point, and then woke up, opened my eyes, rolled over, thought this ain't my house. And then and rolled over to see your best friend lying next to you and just think, oh no, you didn't, and you check it, nope, good.
Brilliant. So, Adam, just very quickly, what have you been up to in the last 8 months or so since the last EU?
Oh, flip. Came back from New York after doing the film. I'm back out there in a couple of weeks to the premiere. Well, that good old trip to the restaurant trade. What do the great British public know about the restaurant biz? Turns out, not a lot. I'm working on a science thing at the moment. I did Pointless, that was fun.
Quality.
What I learned from Celebrity Pointless is that Chris Hines is a fucking moron.
Is that episode still on the iPlayer?
I don't think it's been on yet. I'm like technically like breaking the rules here, but I'm not on it very long because Chris Hines knows all about Doctor Who. Not that I'm angry.
Right, okay. Right, Adam, so very quickly, we've chatted about Impact Wrestling, we've chatted about ROH, we're kind of working our way through the UK Championship Tournament card. Are you ready just to drop in wherever we are?
Yeah. I'll drop in and bless you with my knowledge.
Your knowledge.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to start your knowledge. We'll start with you chatting about your thoughts on Kenny Williams and Dave Mastiff. Obviously, Kenny Williams getting time on WWE TV very recently, along with Flash Morgan Webster, James J, who just chatted about. Dave Mastiff, very well known. He's had lots of exposure on TV over the years. What are your thoughts on this match, and who do you think is going to go through?
Oh, this is going to be good. I love Dave Mastiff. I think he's amazing. And yeah, I think I'll give it to Mastiff.
I mean, Kenny Williams, obviously an ICW regular and getting a lot of profile up here north of the border. So I think it is going to be a kind of clash of styles as well. Paul, your thoughts?
Yeah, they're very, very much a clash of styles. Kenny Williams, very obviously a high flyer. Mastiff is deceptively agile for such a big guy, but he'll rough you up with the best of them.
I want to get a bit of insight on Dave Mastiff. Has he got a neck?
Not much of one, but I believe one is there. I genuinely think they'll do the David Goliath and Kenny will go through. But then Kenny wouldn't get past the whoever he meets at the next stage, whether that's Flash or James.
Okay, and next up we've got Kai's favourite, El Ligero, and Kata's favourite in Travis Banks. I'm going to start with you, PK. I mean, personally, I think it's a Travis Banks no-brainer.
Yeah, Travis has got all the buzz. Obviously, Ligero is the hardest working man in British wrestling. He does so many shows, it's ridiculous. Within the first couple of months this year, he was in triple digits for the number of matches he's done. So his work ethic is definitely something that sets him apart. But Travis being the progress champion, having a lot of buzz around him, that Terminator-like, I'm just going to keep coming style, is something I think people, in even casual people who don't know him, will gravitate to. And the potential of a Banks versus Gibson quarterfinal match is too good to pass up.
Is kayfabe dead? I mean, let's look at El Ligero. They're literally billing him as being from Leeds. Is that a complete killing of gimmick?
It's a hard line to walk, this one. particularly with Alligator, and we've joked about it on the show slightly before. Yeah. What's more important, kayfabe or racism?
Right, okay, and you're the very man to talk on this point. So where do you stand?
Well, I
actually, you're probably not standing under the circumstances.
I where am I kneeling in tears in front of the false god I signed up to last night? I would very much go all in, but I'm also acutely aware that they are a publicly traded company,
yep.
And whenever they've done stuff like that before in the past,
yeah.
the poo has certainly hit the fan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, remember back in the day when the primetime players like Kobe Bryant in a hotel room? Like, yeah, they'll be uproar.
See, to me, this is one of these things where WWE, to me, would normally not go with the El Ligero name. They would just use his, I don't know, real name or some other kayfabe botch up name that they picked from a pair of tombstones somewhere in Kansas.
Yeah.
But they've gone with the Ligero name. I don't know. And who do you think is going to win anyway, Adam?
I want El Ligero to win. I think it's just so, it's because we know he's from Leeds. It's just funny. It's sort of funny.
And do we see him speaking?
Yeah. Yeah, just him and Kalisto as a tank team, and Kalisto being like, "We are Luchadori," and him going, "Why I or whatever."
So they have Jordan. He's in Leeds now. Right. Okay. We've already hit on Zach Gibson here, George. We're going to jump to Tucker and my man Joe Coffey, the Iron Man. And Adam, have you had much exposure to either?
I have not. As a south of the river, not even south of the border, south of the river, like north of not like north of the Thames, is like Wallace and Gromit, a grand day out for me. So
it's the wrong trousers.
I've heard of Joe Coffey.
Yeah. Okay, I'll take that as you don't have much of an opinion as to who's likely to win then.
I'm going to go with Joe Coffey based on the fact that I like coffee.
And that's coffee, like the drink, but spelt different. A little Green Mile reference for you there. I'm going to go to you, PK.
Again, it's a really interesting first round match because you've got Tucker, who was in the first tournament and had a good standout performance in that tournament. But then we all know what Joe's capable of. Me and you in particular from our time watching him at the likes of, for me, Fight Club Pro, working with him at TNT. And for yourself, obviously, like the likes of BCW and all those promotions up there. I do think this one will be one of the swerve ones, and Joe Coffey would go through, though, just because, he stands out a bit, and the potential of... they could do Northern Ireland versus Southern Ireland in the quarterfinal stage.
I've got a bit of a thought here because of something else that I'm aware of. We'll come to it in a minute. Obviously, now, to me, I think, I've been saying for quite a long time that I'd like Joe Coffey to get a chance to get some WWE time. Having seen him in matches with the likes of Jay Lethal and stuff like that, and the fact that, with ICW's had matches lined up with Kurt Angle and all the rest of it, the guy knows what he's doing in that ring and deserves every little bit of opportunity that he can possibly get. But that's my bias. having seen him, at events with Damo at the time, obviously now Killian Dane, and just the size difference in the two, and yet the power that comes out of Joe Coffey when he wants to is very impressive.
Yeah.
So I'm backing Joe Coffey all the way. Don't care who he's facing in the further rounds. He's my winner. I don't care who. And if he isn't, then they're wrong. Now I'm going to touch on the next match, but before I do. The reason I'm seeing the next match going the way I think it's going to go is because right here on July the 1st, after that fact, there's an opportunity for a rematch because Discovery Wrestling, July the 1st, at their show at Portobello Town Hall, I believe it is. Yeah, Portobello Town Hall. they've got Joe Coffey facing off against Jordan Devlin. So there's an opportunity for a rematch there that obviously would do a lot of good for business for an independent like Discovery. That's going to get a lot of attention if that's the case. So Jordan Devlin versus Tyson T-Bone. Tyson T-Bone, obviously been around a bit as well, got a good reputation and much more powerful than Jordan Devlin is. Jordan Devlin, obviously, faster paced. To me, it has to be next round Joe Coffey versus Jordan Devlin. So I'm going that way. I'm going to come to you, PK.
I'd agree with that. I think Devlin's just something about him at the moment. He had a good little run in the first tournament, and he starts to get his name out there more.
Yeah.
But again, very much the same comparison to someone like a Mark Haskins, who we talked about earlier. Mm-hmm. Yeah. In the 18 months since that tournament, he's just gone from strength to strength to strength. If anyone has ever watched his stuff in OTT as the import killer, and that run he had to try and win the heavyweight belt, that is so good storytelling-wise, and the matches he was having were just something else.
From his last time round, I think he came over too much as a baby Balor. He didn't come over as himself enough because, they were obviously crediting Balor with helping bring him through and all the rest of it and his training and stuff. So I just kind of felt he didn't get a chance to shine as himself.
No, and also one thing I've noticed with Devlin as well is he loves to play the heel. Like a Fight Club pro, he's very much a heel. But at TNT, he's begrudgingly being turned babyface because people will do the "you're just a shit Finn Balor" chants and stuff to him at first. But then the match starts to get going and then people realise, no, hang on, you're really bloody good. Yeah. And then by the end of him versus David Starr at the last TNT show, everyone was just completely like wrapped up in the moment, cheering for both guys. And he's so good that we won't be able to keep him a heel for long. And I think that is as well just plays to Jordan as a person. My bosses at TNT were out watching the Liverpool game with them the other night. He was just randomly in Liverpool and he was there watching the game, and he's awesome guy. But like as a wrestler, I think he's superb. And I do want to see him at the very least get to that semi-final stage this time round.
Yeah. Not a good night for Liverpool on Saturday, was it?
No, but this is why we always need new goalkeepers.
Yeah. Adam, your thoughts on Devlin versus T-Bone?
I don't know who any of these names. This must be how Kai's girlfriend feels every day when he tries to talk about wrestling to her.
You must remember Devlin from last time round at least.
He's the one who kicked Danny Burch and bust him
that's
open.
That's what I was about to say. Is he the one that nearly killed Danny Burch? Okay. Oh, Danny Burch. I've still got a bit of beef with him. Because here's what happened there. This was when NXT first became a thing. And he was just he had this like really generic, like he's got now still, like just slightly generic and a bit dull, and he looks like the blank template for create a wrestler for WWE Warzone on the PlayStation 1. And me and an old friend of ours, let's call him Mason Guevara, just for secrecy, had this segment on Sunday School where we'd repackaged Danny Burch. And they got more and more ridiculous to the point where I came up. I got sort of annoyed his girlfriend, who then told him, was when I turned him into a Brody and made him Brody by that. Mm-hmm. And yeah, so that's why me and Danny Perch. He's probably forgotten now. He's in like NXT, he doesn't care.
Yeah, to be honest, he actually still looks like he's someone that's just been picked up randomly from the 1980s version of World of Sport and just dropped into today's wrestling. So,
yeah, and he even looks out of place in the ring. It's like someone, like these 20-grand men that turn up to football in the kit, just in case, like, a Ravitch goes, oh, fuck, there's only 10 of them, turns down and goes, you! Like, that's what he looks like, just all the time.
So, Adam, after all that little misdirection, T-Bone.
I'm going to go with T-Bone.
And, okay, Adam, who's your man to win it all? Who's your pick?
El Ligero.
El Ligero for the win. And PK?
For me, Zach Gibson. It's either Gibson or Gallagher. I'm thinking that's going to be the final.
I don't think Gallagher needs to win. So, personally, I'm obviously going with Joe Coffey. I'm not going to lie about it. But if you can get Coffey versus Kenny Williams in the finals, then Scotland triumphs. That would be a great day. It can happen.
There's a first time for everything.
And obviously, they've announced a couple of the matches, haven't they, for the aren't going to be part of the tournament as well at the Albert Hall. The women's match is really interesting, I'll be honest. With Tony Storm, Killer Kelly, Ginny and Isla Dawn. Winner gets Shayna Baszler the next night.
Wouldn't you deliberately
lose that match? we're going to put you on a network. Winner essentially gets prison banned the next night in front of a massive audience.
And very quickly, the other match announced for the Saturday. Is it Saturday? Is it 18th of Saturday? No.
18th of Saturday, the British Strong Style versus Undisputed Era.
Yeah, and that's going to be a hell of a match.
Yeah, that's a ridiculous main event, because that will be the main event of that show.
Oh, yeah. If they don't have Muppets.
Well, I think they may just put it before the final of the tournament, the way the brackets are stacked.
Yeah. Well, no, the final of the tournament will more than likely be on the actual Sunday. I'd assume, because that's a lot of matches on the Saturday if they do it all then.
Well, I've got a funny feeling the first round matches may happen before that.
All the first round matches are happening at the Download Festival.
So
2, 4, 6, 7. It's a 9-match card if they do the full tournament on the Saturday.
That's not unheard of.
Yeah, good point. but that only makes the June the 19th show a 6-match card, and it's really weird. There's five plus they wouldn't have the final. Yeah, so yeah, it would just be five.
It doesn't really make sense unless they did the semis and the final on the Sunday, which would give you 6 on the Saturday, and then give you 8 on the Sunday, which would make more sense having the bigger.
Yeah, I personally think it'll end up being Tony Storm versus Shayna on the Sunday, and the most interesting thing about for me on that Sunday, just before we move on, is the fact that every NXT title's on the line apart from Aleister Black's. It's Black and Ricochet versus EC3 and Velveteen Dream. Where it's like, wasn't it advertised originally as every NXT title will be on the line? I know they don't want to overshine the UK championship, but you just have Aleister Black on second to last and Pete Dunne on last.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's quickly run through the last matches. Actually, we've got Pete Dunne versus the winner of the tournament announced for that night. So that kind of questions the match order and would suggest that the semis have to be on the Saturday.
With the final on the Sunday as the opening
final
match.
Final on the Sunday, and then Pete Dunne versus the winner of the final later on the same night.
That would make more sense.
Yeah, that would make more sense. And then we've also got Adam Cole versus to be decided for the NXT North American Championship. Any thoughts on who's likely to be in there, PK?
If anything, I'd say maybe the person who doesn't win the UK tournament. So like or someone like a Gulak or someone like that, unless they do something on the NXT TV tapings to get a number one contender. I think that makes sense.
Adam, any thoughts on that for you?
I think it's going to be Odog the Great.
Yes. And so it should be. Okay, Well, Scotch Shayna Baszler, as we discussed, versus the winner of the Women's Fatal 4-Way. So whether it's held on Janika Kelly, Tony Storm, myself, PC, I've already said Tony Storm. Adam, your thoughts on that?
Yeah, Baszler. It's just going to be a prison banging. It's going to be brutal.
Do you see being Tony Storm as well?
Yeah, I like Tony Storm. I think she's a good little number.
Okay, fair enough. Good little number. And I've also got Undisputed Era putting up the NXT Tag Team Championships against TBD. TBD are obviously working double shift. Who is likely to be facing off against Undisputed Era for those tag titles, PK?
I think it'll be Mustache Mountain. They'll do something after the six-man on the first night, and it'll be Trent and Tyler.
Does make a lot of sense. Adam, would you see that?
Who is in TBD? Is that the tag team of Vacant and Undecided?
That's the one.
Nice. Yeah, I like them. I like them. They, you know, Vacant gets a bad rub. I mean, yeah, I can't explain what he did, but, you know.
Anyway, moving swiftly along.
I reckon Undisputed Era are going to keep the old titles.
Yeah, but who do you think they're going to be facing?
Oh, I don't know. Let's work out who it won't be, and then we'll kind of know. So it's not going to be the Young Bucks.
You can be there for a while.
Because I've got a while.
Pick up a child.
Okay. I reckon it might be TM 63.
63?
Who is it, 61? Like, you know the guys who are in that, like, god-awful cage rocket launcher thing? It could be AOP.
I could see that, but they're also trying to make TM61 more heelish at the moment, so... Yeah.
61, that's the number I was looking for. I was like, it's either 61, 63, or 69.
Well, we're having 69 on WWE TV.
I went right down the middle. yeah, got it wrong.
Absolutely, so you did. Okay, the last match announced is Aleister Black and Ricochet versus EC3 and Velveteen Dream. And obviously, a bunch of big names in there. Adam, who are you fancying?
Who? Shayna Baszler, obviously. I think Velveteen Dream and EC3 will get this, because they both need a win. Like, I forgot an EC3 was in NXT. Just because he's not really done anything.
Yeah, I think Dream will pin Ricochet in that.
Yeah. Personally, I think it's guaranteed to put an Aleister Black Ricochet win, but that's just me.
This is a Honky Tonk Man, the greatest WWE Intercontinental Champion of all time, and you're listening to the European Uppercut on the Trending Topics Network. I'm just a honky tonk man. I'm cool. I'm cocky. I'm ba 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 ba.
So that's the UK Championship Tournament, June 18th and June the 19th. Obviously, you can get it on the WWE Network. Now, Adam, anything you quickly want to chat about before we start doing a little finishing off bits this morning?
It's been quite a weird period in wrestling when not much has really happened. Which of Bobby Lashley's sisters, like F. Mary Kill, Bobby Lashley's sisters. Let's do this.
Kill is my response. That was a terrible segment. I don't know if that was which was worse, that or the segment on Impact Wrestling at the start of March where Laurel Van Ness was getting married to the women's title belt.
Oh, this is your life, Bailey.
No, this is Jamal Bailey. It looks like Citizen Kane. Next to Bobby and Ashley's sisters.
But yeah. I mean, segments like that just need to stop happening. Let's just get rid of them for good, please. Thank you very much. Put them in one on one and be done with it.
I've got a theory that wasn't the original plan. And then Vince McMahon watched White Chicks on the Impact Entertainment. And we're just like, do it.
obviously because Netflix recommended it for him. Yeah.
And then when they got to arena, his sisters were there, and he just went, go home. I've got a better idea now.
Oh, God. You can so see that happening. Is the return of Bobby Lashley to WWE working for you guys?
Not really at the moment, if I'm honest. He hasn't really done anything apart from come in and throw a couple of suplexes. And when you're having him come in and beat up Elias, who is ridiculously over.
Yeah.
And it just does neither of them any favours.
He gave Sami Zayn vertigo.
That promo was good, I've got to say. I've all stuff to come out of it. I enjoyed that promo a lot. Have you seen the video that went up of Kevin Owens stealing the camera at a house show and social media that was hysterical because Sami Zayn in everything that's going on, when Bobby Lashley starts making his entrance, he stood there going, that guy gave me vertigo. And Kevin Owens is like, I know he did, buddy, it's fine. we'll get him back for that. Those pair have been brilliant, to be honest. They're the bright spark to take out of the Bobby Lashley stuff.
I have to say, though, that's where I was with it until I started my catch-up on what's been happening with Impact. And watching what he was doing late February, early March, and Impact was just... It was doing zero for him as well as everybody else. So, you know, at least it's doing a little something for him. May not be doing anything for anything else, but anybody else. But it's doing something for him by trying to show some level of who he was in the past rather than what he'd become during his time in Impact, which was just a waste of space. At one point, it just looked ridiculous on TV and should have been removed from it immediately. So I suppose it's better than he was five, 6 months ago.
Yeah, like, if you brought him in as a killer to go up against Lesnar, then that'd be fair enough. But that doesn't even look like that's their intention at the moment.
No, it doesn't at all.
Why does he wear a hairband? Like, I don't get it.
But that's exactly it. And instead of winning them an Impact, at one point he was just in the most ridiculously badly combined colour range that you've ever seen. It was like he'd been dressed in the dark and, you know, here's seven boxes just pick out what you can find in there, and there was no lights to tell what was what, and you just put it on. It was like when Goldust went off the rails back in the 90s.
All wrestlers went off the rails back in the 90s. It was just this dumb thing.
When he was the artist formerly known as Goldust is the period I'm referring to.
oh, okay. Yeah. Really, that's Black Rain. Like, that was for me when it all went a little bit
Black Rain was a whole other thing altogether. And let's not even talk about the moment in WCW that was Seven.
Even he knew that was bad. Coming out,
it lasted all of an introduction.
Oh, yes. Well, same thing. If I got to work and they dress me up like a cross between Uncle Fester and a pedophile, I'd be like, I quit.
Anyway, let's start finishing up. Any last things to chat about before we go, Paul?
Obviously I've got two TNT shows coming up over the next couple of months. One's TNT Ignition, which is our NXT sort of brand, where we're trying to give people from training schools a good opportunity, and that show's called Sky's the Limit on the 14th of June. Most notable things on that show, we've got two high-profile singles matches with Chris Ridgeway taking on Kevin Lloyd, and Sonna Dursun taking on Philip Michael. And we've also got, we're having a tournament at the moment on the main TNT shows to crown our first ever tag team champions. And four teams at Sky's the Limit are going to have the chance to become a wild card entry in that tournament. We're having a mini four-team tournament on the night. Then coming up on the 5th of July, we have TNT Extreme Wrestling going off big time. Both of these shows are from Fusion and Liverpool, and tickets are available from ringsideworld.co.uk, or just ping me a message on Facebook and we can sort something out. And at the going off big time, and we haven't announced tons yet. The most notable things we've got are Walter defending is going up against Joe Connors, I should say, for the World Heavyweight Championship. Walter making his debut And by the time the show is released, we will have announced it. We've got Naoki Tanizaki from Dragon Gate, former Open the Triangle Gate champion and Open the Brave Gate champion, going up against Jordan Devlin, which should be a absolutely fantastic match. We'll also have the Women's Championship defended on that show and two more matches in the Tag Wars tournament. This tournament's going to be a slog if it's finally going to end. But around this time next year, and that's doing two tag matches a show until then. There's been some really good matches so far. We've had the Kings of the North, the Purge, the MOB and CCK all progressed to the next round already. And we've got four more first round matches to go before we get into the really interesting nitty gritty stages. And you can catch up with all that if you just Google search for TNT Wrestling On Demand. You can pay, I think it's either £4 or £5 a month to gain access to all the shows, hear my commentary if you'd like to, and catch up with some genuinely amazing matches such as Will Ospreay versus Pete Dunne from last year and Jordan Devlin versus David Starr from just our last show.
Brilliant. Adam, anything you want to chip in before we finish up?
I don't know how much more I can watch two solid grown men hit each other in the dick on WWE programming before I'm like completely done. That's how like a teenage boy wins an argument, not how a grown ass man. I'd have rather seen the pillow fight at Money in the Bank.
And by all accounts, if you believe the rumours, that it's that match which has screwed up the plans a little bit for Ciampa and Gargano. They were supposed to be last man standing, and then they decided they wanted to do it on the main show with Nakamura and Styles instead. So now they
have to see the Gargano right now needs a last man standing.
But like Gargano and Ciampa is just like a street fight now, and it's like, okay, so you're going off a legitimate five-star match, one of the best matches that WWE has ever put on in the unsanctioned match, and now they're just going to a street fight. That makes no sense.
I'd have made AJ Styles, Shinsuke Nakamura, and I Quit match, and just had AJ be like, stay in Shinsuke, and he'd just be like, no, speak English.
Yeah. Is that again? Awesome. Would have made sense character-wise.
Yeah. Yeah. Or like Gargano Ciampa, I Quit match. Would be amazing.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think the street fight is still going to be amazing because those two are just at the top of the game at the moment. Like, Ciampa is the best heel in wrestling.
They're never normally that climactic match, though. They're normally part of a built-up climactic match.
I don't think this story is anywhere near done with those two.
No. I don't think their story will ever be done at the end of the day. I think they're they're a bit like Zayn and Owens in that every so often they'll break into war out of nowhere again.
Yeah, and that is not a bad thing.
Absolutely not. Totally agree. Anything else, Adam?
No, I think I've kind of aired my grievances, so to speak. I've dropped my proverbial pipe bomb.
Absolutely. And poor Danny Burch.
Yes, we're only by that.
He's in trouble. Okay, I've got a few things quickly want to hit on. First up, I mentioned the Discovery Wrestling Show coming up July the 1st at Portobello Town Hall. Just a few of the matches on the card. We've got Chris Ridgeway versus Mikey Whiplash. We've got the Kings of the North versus the Kings of Catch. We've got, as mentioned earlier, Joe Coffey versus Jordan Devlin. And Vida Scott is also on the card for that one. So all the best to Disco for that one. Following on from Ring of Honor this last week, one thing I forgot to mention earlier was how feckin' wide is Bully Ray. He's like a tank, like the back of a bus. He's huge.
You wouldn't think, because obviously he was in the Land of the Giants for so long, he's such a big guy, but it's like when you see people like Sami Zayn in person, he's like 6 foot odd, compared to like Brock, compared to Braun Strowman, he's a child.
Yeah. Honestly, I was just like, how wide is that man? He's enormous. But also, the Ring of Honor have announced that they are coming back later on this year, August the 16th here in Edinburgh again, August the 18th in Doncaster, August the 19th in London. So make sure you get your tickets for those events. If last week was anything to go by, it's going to be another three great nights. And the last thing I want to bring up is a little bit left of centre. I was doing my catch-up of Impact, as mentioned, a couple of things already on this show. And every time I hear a certain theme, I think of a totally different song. And I'm going to play it, and you'll see where I'm going with this, around about the 45-second mark. So bear with me, guys. Here it comes. Is it me, or have they totally ripped off Adele Skyfall for that song?
It's like they merged Skyfall with Nobody's by Marilyn Manson.
Exactly! I couldn't believe it. So that's just so blatant, it's untrue. Adam, what should we do about it?
I think we should make them have to hire Bobby Lashley's sisters and have them have a 1-year undefeated streak as TNA Knockout champion. I think they should have to put Scott Steiner on commentary on his own. And I think that they should have all of their social media done by blind chimps.
Don't they already?
More blind chimps. If you give 100 monkeys 100 typewriters, in 100 years they'd have written Shakespeare. If you give one monkey a felt tip and a notepad, it'll be TNA's head booker.
TNA doesn't exist anymore, Adam. Come on, get with the programme.
That's how long... Oh, I have watched it, but it just, everyone irritates me. I very rarely see a wrestler and think, I genuinely want bad things to happen to you.
Well, don't worry. The prestigious one, Joe Hendry, is coming to sort it all out.
Eli Drake is the most annoying thing
agreed
to ever happen. Oh. The last time I was in that much pain, I was having a root canal filling. He is just terrible. The gimmick is awful. He dresses like a pimp trying to be a slightly better pimp. And it's terrible. I can't stand him. I want bad things to happen to him. The fact Tyson Kidd doesn't have a job in the ring and Eli Drake does is just terrible.
The other thing that I almost forgot to mention today was how much the Iconics irritate me even more so than Madison Rayne ever did. Their voice is just great. Somebody please gag them and then that'll be good. Thank you.
Don't you ever talk badly about the Iconics.
I knew you'd defend them.
They are amazing. They are everything right with the universe. It is incredible. They are the wrestling equivalent of a Philly cheesesteak sandwich, and you will leave them alone. Am I making myself there?
Right, Adam, on that note, say goodbyes and do your plugs.
My name is Adam Pearson, and I am the biological father of the Iconics. And I'm not. Maybe last night got incredibly ropey. Who knows? You can find me on Twitter at Adam_Pearson, Twitch Adam Pearson TV, and Channel 4, like Channel 5, BBC. If you saw a disabled guy staggering around Camden last night singing "It Must Have Been Love, But It's Over Now" by Roxette, that was probably me. And thank you for your time,
PT.
Obviously, you can find me on Twitter, Twitter and Instagram as MrTNT_PK. Hopefully, can see some of you at the shows over the next couple of months. We've got a lot of good things going on with TNT. Always got some good ticket offers going on. if you keep a lookout on Ringside World or follow TNT Extreme Wrestling on Facebook. And also TNT Extreme Wrest on Twitter and Instagram.
Cool. I'm going to apologise to Kai because he did send an email, but I've not had time to do it. So sorry, Kai, but you're bumped. that's what you get for not coming on. I don't know when we're going to be back, but we'll try and get back whenever we can and do another show. But if you do want to email us, you can do eurouppercut@gmail.com. I do check it occasionally. But do tweet us at the EU pod with any feedback on today's show. Don't forget to check out the other shows on the Trending Topics Network. Find out more by going to trendingtopicsnetwork.com. But it's been good to be back. And I don't know when we'll be back, but hopefully, as I say, it will be soon. Until then, enjoy the wrestling, enjoy the product, make the most of it, and we'll catch you next time. The living legend has now left the building.